Today we continue our study on the Holy Spirit, and today the title of our message is Meet the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at the Holy Spirit, the person. And you remember, we looked when we first started this study at a life without the power of the Holy Spirit, the unsaved man, and then even to a lesser degree, the believer that is carnal, that is not walking in the Spirit, that is not called a spiritual man. Let me lead us in a word of prayer. We'll begin. Take your Bible, turn over to the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6. And we're going to look at meeting the Holy Spirit. Our Father, we love you. Thank you again for the privilege to serve you. Thank you for the privilege to share the Word of God. Bless every listener today, that you may minister in their hearts and in their lives, that each of us may learn today something about you, and we may glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and lose them too, Lord, to you, and to be a witness today for you. And we give you the glory and give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we talked about the things you cannot do without the power of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4:6 makes that pretty clear. He's writing to Zechariah, then he said, and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Not our might, not our ability, not our strength, but through the power of the Spirit of Almighty God. See, without the Holy Spirit, we're kind of like an unplugged toaster. We're not going to do any good without the power on. And so God's teaching us about this. Now, let me begin by talking about three don'ts about the Holy Spirit that the Bible tells us about. Number one is this. He says, don't be ignorant about the Spirit. Romans 1:13, and it says six times in the Bible, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Old Dr. J. Vernon McGee, you remember him, and preached beginning at Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation, then started over again. He said the largest denomination in the world are the ignorant brethren. a lot of truth to that. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, the Bible says, what? Know ye not, don't you know this, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? When you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. God dwells in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. That God has given this wonderful gift to us, the person of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We've been purchased with a price, that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the passage when we first started the study, when we talked about Acts chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, and we saw that Paul met these believers in Ephesus and was talking to them about what they believe in, and had they been baptized in the Spirit. And they said, we've not even heard of the Spirit. We don't even know about the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people don't know about his ministry in our lives. And this is one of the things that God burdened me to teach us, that we stop and we look at this. So number one, God does not want you to be ignorant of the person of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. The second thing is this, don't be indifferent toward the Holy Spirit. Some people aren't ignorant. They're just not interested. They really don't care. It doesn't make any difference. They're indifferent. They think that teaching on the Holy Spirit is out on the edge somewhere. It's controversial. It's not if you stay in the Word of God. The Word of God is our authority and our truth and our guideline. The third thing is, don't take the teachings to excess. Some people get wild and crazy about things, and they take the Scripture out. Some will, like Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't want it to be a hell, so they deleted all the verses in that. They started off saying only 144,000 were going to heaven. I had some stop off one day at the house, and I was witnessing to them, and I said, let me ask you a question. How many years has the Jehovah's Witness been organized and going? They told me quite a while. I said, don't you think there's 144,000 that's got in the group yet, which means you're not going to make it. What you ought to do is come to Jesus. You ought to do like I am, trust him by simple faith and be born again. But see, people go out on the extremes, and the danger is that many move the Holy Spirit ahead of Jesus. They put more emphasis on getting the Spirit than they do on being yielded and submitting and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember John chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus said, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you to all truth." Now watch this. "For he shall not speak of himself." The Holy Spirit's not going to put himself up to the top. He's not going to try to be the preeminence. He's not going to try to be the focal point. "For whatsoever he hear, that shall he say, and he will show you things to come." Verse 14, "he shall glorify me." And that's the role and the goal of the Holy Spirit, to glorify Jesus, to equip us to glorify Jesus and bear witness to him. He said, "For he shall receive of mine and show it unto you." So these are three things that the Holy Spirit tells us three things we don't do. We're not to be ignorant of him. We're not to be indifferent. And we're not to take the teaching of the Holy Spirit to extremes. But now let's stop now. And the goal today is, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is he? And let's talk about that. First of all, the Holy Spirit is a person. You said, I thought he's a spirit. He is. But you can be a spirit and a person at the same time. Jesus is a person. He was in the flesh. God the Father is a person, and so is the Holy Spirit. Maybe you had a loved one who died. I got a mom and dad in heaven, a younger brother in heaven. They left this body. They went to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this old body is a temporary tent. It's like a shell, the skene. We put off this tent. We're going to get a new one. But the real person is not the body. It's the spirit and the soul of that individual. A person is a spiritual being. You're a spiritual being. So am I. And over in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24, let me see if I can put my finger on it right quick. Listen, verse 24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So God is spirit, yet God is person. You are an individual. You have a body, you have a spirit, you have a soul. You are a spiritual being. Now, some people think that the Holy Spirit is just a it, that he's just an influence. May the force be with you. No, he's the third person of the Godhead. Psychologists and sociologists tell us the attributes of personhood are threefold. They say intelligence, emotion, and will. They said that's personality. God says we're spirit. We do have intelligence. The Holy Spirit does have emotion. He does have will. So according to them, the Holy Spirit is personhood, and he is. Now, the second thing that the Holy Spirit possesses is not that he's just a person, but he possesses intellect. Now, if you're looking at your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says this, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" What God is saying, the only one who can know what I'm really thinking is me, the spirit of me. And unless I tell you that, you can't look at me and tell what I'm thinking. So he's talking about the spirit of man. But now watch, "even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God." See, the Holy Spirit possesses intellect. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He's God. He knows the things of God. So the Holy Spirit knows. He used to talk about a thing Bo knows and all that. The Holy Spirit knows. He really does. So the Holy Spirit possesses intellect. The third thing, the Holy Spirit possesses emotion. Now, we're looking at who the Holy Spirit is. We're looking at the personhood of the Holy Spirit. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 30, it says that he loves. God is love. Listen to this, Romans 15:30. Now, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, for Christ's sake, and the love of the Holy Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. The Holy Spirit of God loves. God loves you. God is love. The Holy Spirit is God. He loves. Now, if you look over into the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 30, it says, here's another emotion. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. See, we grieve him with our disobedience. He can feel the grief, what we would say is the heartbreak when we fail the Lord. We've got a son that's away from the Lord, and we weep over him, grieve over him daily, long for God to work in his heart, patiently trusting and waiting. And, you know, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit, when he looks at me, to say, David loves me and he wants to serve me. No way close to perfect, but of a yielded heart. I've told the Lord many times, Lord, I may fail you, but it's not because I'm rebellious. It's because I'm dumb. I'm just doing a stupid thing, and I shouldn't be doing it, and I'm sorry. I want to be obedient. See, who do you live to please? Now, the fourth thing we're looking at about the Holy Spirit possesses will. And so we see the characteristics of the personhood of the Holy Spirit. He's God. He's real. He's alive. He's not just an influence. He is the person of Holy Spirit God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. It says, but all these, he's talking about the gifts that are given and how the Holy Spirit uses them. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, the Holy Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. As he wills. You see it? He's the one that determines what gift you get, not you. Lord, I want this one. I want to preach. I want to be a prophet. I want to be. No, you're going to be what God designed you to be, and in his will, what he gifted you to be. He has a will for your life to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring men to him, and to magnify God the Father. So, yield to the Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, but much, much more. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit is God. The third member of the Trinity, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, Acts chapter 5, that we have this wonderful truth again, that God demonstrates to us his truth about the person that the Holy Spirit is God. And you'll remember this, that the Holy Spirit has been talking about giving and tithing and so forth to the church, and now Barnabas has sold everything, gave it to the Lord. So two copycats, Ananias and Sapphira, were going to play like they did this. They sold their property. They kept part of it, but they gave part, but they said they gave it all, and they came and laid it at the apostles' feet and said, here's our gift. We sold it. There it is, all of it. But then Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Who did he lie to? The Holy Spirit. Now remember that. And to keep back part of the price of the land, while it remaineth, was it not your own? You didn't have to give it all. You could have sold it, kept whatever you want, and give what you want to God. But you lied about it. You lied to God. And after it was sold, and was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but unto God. So see, in verse 3, he said you lied to the Holy Spirit. Here he says you've lied to God. The Holy Spirit is God. Clearly, part of the Trinity. He's God. And you know, when you go over to the book of Matthew, and all through the Bible, and when I'm preaching, I try to point it out each time we bump into it, that often, so many times, you see the person of the Trinity. In Matthew 28, verse 19, go ye therefore and preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name, look, the Father, God the Father, and of the Son, Jesus Christ the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The three in one, the great and almighty God. Isn't that a blessing? So see, God says, I want you to know, I want you to meet the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He possesses intellect. He knows all. He's omniscient and omnipotent like God, because he is God. The Holy Spirit possesses emotion, love and grief and all the other emotions as we deal with him. The Holy Spirit possesses will, that he gives several as he wills. So the Holy Spirit is God. He's part of the Trinity. Treat him with reverence. Listen to him. Let him guide you. He's in the world with us. Jesus at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. The Holy Spirit is down here with us. Right? I mean, he's with us, and we're magnifying him, and he's teaching us and blessing us and helping us as we serve the Lord and do his wonderful, wonderful work. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 says this. Watch again. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So again and again and again, you see the triune God. And just remind us again, the Holy Spirit is also God himself. Now, why is this important? Why? Well, let's look. As the Holy Spirit, he's going to give us wisdom and power and insight and fruit and guidance. Number one, he permanently enters us. When we are born into the family of Almighty God, the Holy Spirit permanently enters into our lives. John 14, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now pay attention to this. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him. Now listen, here's a key thing. For he dwelleth with you. And if you look at that verse, circle the word with. And shall, this is future, be in you. Now see, at this point, it wasn't Pentecost. Holy Spirit hadn't come to the earth to administer the program of Almighty God. And he's saying that this is the Spirit of truth that the world can't receive, but you're going to receive it. He's going to come into your heart, and he indwells you permanently as a child of Almighty God. He's the seal of what God has done for us. You don't have to ask or plead, oh, God, please give me the Spirit. You need to be filled with the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is controlling you. And a lot of people say, I'm waiting on the second blessing. You get all the Holy Spirit. You don't have to wait. He permanently enters into us the moment that we have believed. And it's not a second blessing. It's part of the first blessing, part of our salvation, as God has told us, as he comes to indwell us. Now, the old way, he was with you. Before Pentecost, the Spirit of God dwelt upon them. He was with them. The new way, that the Holy Spirit is in us. And 1 Corinthians 16:19 talks about that. You remember we talked about it, that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He indwells us. Now listen, don't embarrass Jesus with your body. The Christians were living lives of the Holy Spirit as if he were not in them. They were carnal. They were worldly. Listen to your guide, where you go, the activities you participate in, how you act, how you serve. So he permanently enters into us. He indwells us, and it's the seal that marks us as a child of God. Now, the second thing, he powerfully equips us. Now, you know this. I think I've read this verse to you two or three times through the study. But he equips us with the power to do the work. One example is he said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Acts 1:8. And you shall be my witnesses. Whatever God has told you to do, he'll equip you to do it. We must not try and do the work of God in the energy of our flesh. Or use the world's methods to try to accomplish God's will. See, the church is so secularized today by taking the world's business principles to try to do God's work. that they've left off the leadership and the reliance upon the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. God says they have form without power. He talks about empty teaching. It leads to a sense of frustration and failure and fatigue. But when you're doing it in the power of the Spirit of Almighty God, you're working in His strength and not your own. Listen to Romans chapter 15 and verses 13. Let me begin up at verse 18. Listen. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by the word and by obedience. Listen now, verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders, the miraculous power of God, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Key verse 19, by the power of the Spirit of Almighty God. Amen. Man, what a blessing, what an exciting, wonderful thing to go out and serve. And you know the Spirit of God is working and moving. We just saw when we had that great revival in 98 at Highland Park Baptist Church. We just saw the Spirit of God just moving across the hearts and the lives of people. We started out with our opening school revival. We did that every year. When all the students would get there, we'd bring the church together and the seminary, the university, the high schools, all the schools together and the faculty and the people. And we'd start Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And we would have special preachers in to come in and preach the Word of God and encourage us as we serve the Lord. I'd usually start it off on Sunday morning and then a special guest on Sunday night. And then we'd have two on Monday morning and one at night. We did that all through Wednesday. But God just began to move in a miraculous way. Souls were saved on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. And I told the people, I said, I just sense God's doing something special. And we'll have a service again tomorrow night. That's Thursday night. So people came again on Thursday night. And God moved. People were saved. And we went for a month. We didn't do any advertising at all. I announced in the pulpit, we'll have service tomorrow night again. Feel led, the Lord's leading us. That big old 6,000-seat auditorium was full every night. Yeah, a lot of times you'd have special meetings, and then you'd have to encourage the choir. Now, don't miss. We need you. It makes a huge, huge difference. But you didn't have to do that. They were full every night. The orchestra, the choir, the crowd, people began to come from all over. And seeing people saved. One night, we finished the service. We usually start at 7, and usually, you know, by about 8:15, with the music, we'd have a lot of good music, and then the preaching. 8:15, maybe 8:30, we'd be on the way out. But this service, God began to move, and I guess probably 250 people came to the altar. And I'd always say, now look, if you've come to be saved, I want you to raise your hand so the counselors can come to you. We want somebody to sit down and talk to you with the Word of God. So they would wade in and get with them and share the gospel with them. And while those that were saved, we baptized each night, were going back to get baptized. And we had, while they were getting ready, we had one of our groups come and sing. That's what the altar's for. And my goodness, it filled up again, another couple of hundred. And so we did the same thing. And we did that three times. We baptized 125 people that night. We had Scott McCurdy and Brother Scotty Markham, one on each side of the baptistry and baptizing people as they came through. We got out that night, or that morning at 1:15. Nobody had left. Nobody. Maybe somebody, I don't know. The crowd was still full, packed. People were just afraid to miss. And you could just sense the moving and the power of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God working and dealing in the hearts and the lives. 186 called a surrender to full-time Christian service. Over 600 born again. You just think about that. almost 600 baptized in that 4 weeks of meetings. And every night, no announcements. And then you could just tell the last service, Dr. Joe Jordan spoke, and he spoke on what's next, that God had put it on his heart. And you could tell that it was time to stop. The Holy Spirit was ready for us now to get out of the auditorium and get out and evangelize. But it spread to churches all over. Truck drivers came in, were listening on radio, would pull their trucks into our parking lots or on the side of the street, come in and get saved. Prostitutes got saved. People got saved in the jail. They listened to it on the radio. Churches, it broke out in other churches all over. The power of the moving of the Spirit of Almighty God. Amen. See, he is the person who encourages us as we move forward to do the work of Almighty God. Back over to Romans chapter 15, verse 13, he's talking about this as we walk. He said, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope." How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit encourages. He's the comforter, the paraclete, the encourager. He helps us when we're discouraged, when we're struggling. I want to be like the Holy Spirit and be an encourager. You know, I've gone through a major neck surgery, a back scar on the back of my neck about a foot long, and they cut 4 layers of muscles and a lot of nerves, and they said it takes over a year to heal. Been in pain every day for 9 months. And yet the Holy Spirit encourages me that God is helping me. The Lord is with me, and he's going to strengthen me. And you just keep trusting him and moving with him. And I want to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and I want to be an encourager. We all need it. The world doesn't encourage us. You watch the news, you get all the COVID-19 report, you get all the economy problems of gasoline quadrupling and people robbing the stores in Los Angeles that Walgreens literally had to close so many stores. People just walk in and rob them, and nobody did anything. Our country's gone nuts. But all these different things, the stock market up or down, the hurricane or tornado season, and all of this. See, the whole world system is set up to discourage a child of God. Get in your Bible, get in your church, pray, sing and worship, bless the Lord, praise his name, fellowship with God, and have communion with him, and he will encourage your heart. Because the Holy Spirit, God himself, a person, is with us, in us, and empowers us. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I promise you the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart. He wants you to be saved. If you don't know him, you just confess your sin. "Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm an old sinner. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for me. I confess my sins and I trust in you. I ask you by faith to save me." And friend, right now he will. He'll save your soul. Bless his holy name. Well, we'll continue as we continue the study on the sweet Holy Spirit of God. Until the next broadcast, this is David Bowler, and it's my prayer that the Lord will richly bless you.